Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Hello, everyone. This is Steve Strang, and welcome to the Strang Report. You know, the media continues to bash President Trump, and they found a new way, and that's to bash him over his association with Pentecostals, and also for the fact that the Pentecostals, or many of them, back Trump so strongly that they're praying for him, talking about principalities and powers in the spiritual realm as if this is a terrible thing. Well, today we're going to talk with Frank Amedia, who is the founder and visionary for POTUS Shield, which sounds like President of the United States, Shield. Maybe Frank will tell us if it's a play on words, but it stands for Prophetic Order of the United States. And we're going to talk about this and talk about what the left is trying to do and what Christians can do to stand up against this new onslaught. So stay tuned.
Journey Interrupted is a film about how five people's lives were affected by their pursuit of identity. It's a compassionate film beginning with their childhood stories of abuse and identity confusion, which led to an identity outside of biblical sexuality. As you watch this film, begin your own journey of compassion and understanding as Jesus walks with them from beginning to end. Share with these individuals as you hear, you matter, you belong, and you are loved. Go to journeyinterrupted.com.
Welcome back, and welcome to you, Frank. I've interviewed you on my podcast before. They're always very, very popular. You seem to really know how to stir up things. So let's talk about what happened. It first started with a friend sending me a link from a blogger who interviewed a man who had done this extensive investigation of POTUS Shield, the New Apostolic Network, and so forth. So I sent it to you, and now we're talking about it. So just tell me and my listeners a little bit about this and what we should do.
Well, the source is Peter Montgomery. He's a what they call a PFAW, which is People for a American Way, oddly enough, funded by George Soros. And their outlet is the Right Wing Watch, which printed this blog that got stirred up. Peter prides himself as having two decades of being an expert on the intersection of religion, politics, the LGBT issue, but primarily taking shots at what he calls the extremist right wing. And in this instance, he has been totally mesmerized by POTUS Shield. And by his own admission in this interview, sees it as something that's never happened before in American politics, sees it that the apostolic and the prophetic has taken the lead in being a uniting force in what is broadly labeled as evangelicals, but what he's calling the right Christian extremist group. And Steve, this is going to really, really catch your attention. I was talking to Bishop Harry Jackson this morning, who's one of our council members, and I said, Harry, did you read this article? Steve sent it to me, and when I read it, I look at the mission statement of PFAW, and he started laughing, saying, oh, they were all over me some years back, and he said they haven't changed their spots at all. I said, well, in their mission statement, they propose that they raise up a shield against the right extremist Christians to protect the American country. And Steve, here's what Harry said without losing a breath. He said, isn't that interesting? God has raised up the apostolic in our country as it ought to be, and the enemy of our souls has raised up his best apostolic to try and fight it shield for shield. And he said, battle on. Isn't that interesting?
It is interesting. I'm impressed that people are starting to take notice, but I can remember Pentecostals praying against things and praying for the government and so forth. But, you know, it's kind of in the four walls of the church, and nobody takes it very seriously because they don't consider it very important. But now they're using to bash us, and this blogger, for example, you know, uses these words like anointed by God and the religious right love affair with Trump, and they call us Christian dominionists as if that's a bad word. Of course, dominion is used sometimes, but in our circles, not very often. But I guess it means that we're going to take dominion of the earth and we're Christians. And how horrible that Christians and Christian values would be the order of the day in our culture. I mean, this is just horrible. It just means that all kinds of other things couldn't happen. And of course, there's been this tension between religious people and not religious people. I mean, we could talk for a long time, but I visited Shakespeare's Theater in London when I was over there not long ago, and they were talking about, you know, the Puritans in London and the values of the people who are in the theater. Now, of course, today we think of Shakespeare as pretty mainstream, but, you know, I mean, there was this horrible tension back then and in lots and lots of other examples up until the present day. It just seems to me, Frank, that it's kind of gotten worse. But as things get worse, don't we believe that the Lord is going to raise up a standard against it, as you just said?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, Steve, as you and I spoke way back in the beginning of 2016, and as you know, I was on board in 2015 from the word of the Lord about this president, it wasn't something that Christians manufactured. We didn't get together and have a big meeting somewhere and say, wow, let's anoint a guy and put him in office. It's by the Spirit of God. And even when you look at Peter Montgomery's letter, which he takes a lot of time in dissecting what happened and what are the principles and powers that are involved in POTUS Shield and in this coalescing, he deals with the second coming. He deals with fighting for religious freedom. He deals with that Trump is friendlier to Israel. He deals with that Trump is intending to make Christianity more powerful. He goes on and on. And as you and I were discussing, it's not that he's all wrong. It's the way in which he presents it. And interestingly enough, we are all categorized as right Christian extremists, and our perception of this group and this man is left progressive extremists. And so we're on absolutely different pendulums of this total stroke. But at the same time, isn't it interesting that the glory is still going to God, albeit not willfully? But the glory is still going to God. And the anointing that we announced that was on Donald Trump, a breaker anointing, continues to break. And the only thing that they can oppose it with is not the facts. They have to oppose it with their own opinions. Steve, who could argue that Donald Trump was miraculously elected?
That's right. And, you know, going back to your point before about people getting together and anointing someone, it's like Mike Bickle told me when I interviewed him for my book, God and Donald Trump. He said, we were just praying that God would raise up somebody. We didn't have anybody in mind. And of course, there were a lot of people who we believed could have stepped up. Governor Mike Huckabee is an example. Ted Cruz, the senator from Texas, is the one that I first supported. And the reason was is that he was so strong that I thought he could withstand a lot of this stuff. But, you know, now that we kind of see it in hindsight, I believe that, first of all, Cruz would have lost to Hillary. But even if he had won, I think that he would have just been crushed by some of this stuff. And it would have, people would have said he's trying to start a theocracy, you know, because he's such an outspoken Bible-believing Christian. Nobody can accuse Trump of wanting to do a theocracy because he's not known as being religious at all. But isn't it interesting how the left and the press, which is largely left, is attacking him or ridiculing him over their association, his association with Pentecostals, which is something I wanted to talk about because, you know, totally apart from the people from The American Way or this blogger that we both read, there was a picture that went viral. It was taken by Rodney Howard Brown, a pastor down in Tampa, and it was taken from behind President Trump in the Oval Office while a whole group of Christian leaders laid hands on him and prayed. And Drudge ran it, and it ran all over. And people made fun of it. Like, how dare these people pray for Donald Trump, and how dare he let them? What do you think about that?
Well, my first opportunity to pray for him was well early in the primaries. And both he and his children, Eric and Donald, they have such a reverence for God. And you know, Steve, we're not new to the church. We've been around for a while. We can discern what's genuine and disingenuous. And everybody that has ever been in that circle with prayer can tell you that the Spirit of God is moving, and there's a true humility and a true serenity as they stand before men and women of God. So, of course, the world's going to mock that, probably because if you were to add up the amount of prayer time in their entire life, it might add up to one visit to the bathroom. And so, if you're not spending time in the presence of God, then you're not going to understand the presence of God. You recall when we laid hands on him at Daryl Scott's church in Cleveland, in a faith meeting in September that he attended, about 700-800 pastors there, the power of God was so strong. And afterwards, when he hugged me, he said this to me, "You are a good man." I said, "No, sir, he's a good God." And he smiled and clapped me on the back. And there's a scripture that is jumping out at me. And it comes out of Isaiah 52, and it's in verses 13 through 15. But listen to this, Steve. In this day, and we know that's a messianic chapter, it says, "The Lord, Christ, so shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths at him, for what he had not been told them, they shall see, and what they had not heard, they shall consider." You nailed it. You know, we have a lot of respect for Senator Cruz and his faith. And he is a faithful man, and we all had to wonder what was going on. But here's a man who is seeing what he hadn't seen, hearing what he hadn't considered, but he's taking it fresh. And because he's taking it fresh and understanding that this is an assignment, then we're receiving an emboldening in this nation that we've been crying out for and waiting for. And yes, Mr. Montgomery, and yes, right wing, and yes, our liberal extremists, we do believe that blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. We absolutely believe that. And Steve, I know you've been penning that for years.
I have, but sometimes it feels like you're shouting to the wind, but suddenly people are beginning to take notice. And in a way, that's good, because we're needing to shift the dialogue in our country. In fact, you know, Frank, that I wrote this book called God and Donald Trump that won't be out until November 7th, but it is really about God as much or more than it is about Donald Trump, and kind of what's happening in our culture and how God sort of miraculously raised him up and he was elected against all odds. And I quote four very specific prophecies that were given about him, yours being one of them, that he would win. Nobody thought he would win. Even on Election Day, nobody thought he would win. Yet these were not prophecies made on Election Day. They were made previous. Chuck Pierce made one in 2008. A man named Mark Taylor did one in 2011. I'm not sure when yours was, and Lance Wallnau is the other one. And we published it. I wanted to publish it to put it on the record, because we know that there's a lot of things that masquerade as Christian prophecy that sort of, you know, never happens, or it's almost silly. Like, I know a prophet, you may know him, he's a respected pastor, but he prophesied that Rudy Giuliani would win in 2008. Well, guess what? He was wrong. And to his credit, he apologized. But I mean, there's been a lot of that. But in this instance, these prophecies came true.
Yes. And that's the point, I think, Steve. Point us back to what is enabling some of these extremist groups to try and dissect and understand that this is the point. When they first started attacking me, it was new to me, and so I was a little bit put back. And I had to try to understand how and what this was coming from. And it sort of gives you some very strong skin, but yet you keep your heart strong. And then I realized in the midst of this that this was an opportunity for God to be glorified. And I have to tell you, Steve, every time I released another prophecy about the election, for example, the Electoral College, that he would win on a landslide, or the Electoral College, that was in June on Alan Combs' Fox News, on Jim Baker's program 2 weeks before the election, exactly what would happen on election night, the fact it wouldn't be over at midnight, that it would go over into the next day, the fact that Haman would hang on its gallows and Hillary, with all of the celebrating, would be shamed. I have to tell you, I gave it with trembling and fear, just as Lance released it and Chuck and others. But here's the point. When you look at all of that, it all came true. So no longer can they just say this crazy apostolic prophetic understanding. They're trying to, they can't just mock it. Now they have to try and mock the relationship, and in one sense say that we're extremists, that we're not tolerant, we're intolerant. So now they're not attacking the form, they're attacking the substance. And that's really the battlefield we want to be on, isn't it?
It is, and I'm hoping that my book will provide answers for people, even for these people, for the American way, and people like them that want to try to figure out what's going on. Maybe they'll get some answers, and maybe they'll see God's hand. But, you know, there are many people that, if they believe in God at all, they don't believe that he has a will. You know, is it possible that God has a will? Is it possible that God is raising up someone to try to turn the tide in this country? You know, a lot of people have this feeling that the country is going down, even people who aren't real religious. And things become more and more extreme on lots of fronts, not only abortion and gay rights, which are talked about a lot, but drug abuse and all kinds of manner of disruptive things. A lot of the racial tensions are worse now than they were back in the civil rights era when segregation ended. But God has a purpose and a plan, I believe, for America. You know, the Bible says we see through a glass darkly, and I think that, you know, we're probably only seeing a little bit of what God is doing, but we are seeing God move, and it's upsetting the other side, isn't it?
It is. And you know, Steve, I just had the opportunity to read your book. I actually got it overnight, and I read it this morning. Thank God I speed read, so I've read almost all of your book. And I have to tell you that I'm very grateful and proud of you. You're my friend, so I love you. If you were here, I'd hug you and kiss you. But I'm very proud of you as a skilled reporter, a skilled editor, and also as somebody who understands the evangelical perspective and is not afraid of the Spirit. I think God raised you up uniquely at this point in time to be able to historically codify what has happened, but also to sort of get the train on track and pointing forward about what we can look forward to and the promises that we have and the potential that we have as we go forward. So I really, as I was thinking about it today, you're probably the only person I know that has the combined skills of reporting, that has the combined skills of being mature in the body of Christ for so many years. You have seen so many things come and go. You've been able to discern what's real, what's not real. You've been on the cutting edge. You've been down in the trenches. And at the same time, you lived this. You walked through it. And I can attest, I mean, when you knew something was going on, you wanted to figure out how to get there. And hook or crook, you got in there in the midst of it to just see it and experience and live it. So I'm grateful for your book. I'm glad it's coming out. And I believe it is going to be received. And you know what, Steve? I believe that the same people that are trying to discern what we're doing now, what happened, how did PotoShield come to be, what's going on with this new union of Christians that is now united, that used to be divided upon these lines that had to do with tradition and ritual, but not fundamental doctrine, but now are united on fundamental doctrine. These same skeptics are going to look at your book. And I think you're going to allow a lot of people that don't even get moved by the Spirit of God to get a spiritual understanding of what happened. So accolades to you for that, my friend. I think it's timely. I'm glad you waited long enough to let the dust settle and get this out. But please do get it out soon. It needs to be released.
Well, you're very kind, and I appreciate your comments more than I can say the book is coming out on November 7th, which is a Tuesday, which is virtually a year to the day from the election. But you're right, it did take a time for perspective. And in 2003, we published a book called The Faith of George W. Bush that sold 500,000 copies. It was a New York Times bestseller. And that book was actually my idea. And we went out and recruited a writer. And I was thinking about it. I actually talked to two or three other people, including Lance, about doing some kind of book on the election, and none of it worked out. And I thought, we need a book. But instead of going out and recruiting someone, I thought, you know, I should do this, you know, because you're right, I was in the middle of it, not, you know, on the edges, but I mean, I was very aware on what was happening. I had the opportunity to interview the candidate, Donald Trump. I went to the inauguration. I went to the election eve party, you know, that nobody thought would be a celebration. But I told people, if I had known he was going to lose, I wouldn't have bothered to go. I was a little nervous, you know. I mean, there was no certainty. But like I told somebody, I decided to believe the prophets instead of the pundits. You know, the prophet said he would win. And it was a wonderful experience. I never dreamt that night that I would end up writing about it, or I might have taken some notes on what happened, you know. But I have my recollections. I just can't remember what time they called Florida and what time he went over the 270 and so on and so forth. As I wrote the book, I thought, of course, we were able to research a lot of it, but I thought I should have taken some notes that night. But it was an exciting, historic time, and we were able to tell a lot of stories and so forth. And I hope that the book is a blessing to a lot of people.
Oh, I believe it will be. And Steve, you hit on something. You said you chose to believe the prophet. You know, as I was pondering how Mr. Montgomery was so bewildered about how the prophetic has now taken a position in the nation and in the country, and within the earshot of this president, the words of Amos, chapter 3, verse 7, they just ring out so true. He says, the Lord will do nothing but that he reveals it first to his prophets. And that's what God is once again bringing the structure back to the church as we prepare the way for the coming of the Lord, and the genuine prophetic voice is resonating, and God's confirming and affirming it. And we need to be those with our ear to the ground, because he promises us that he will first reveal it to us. So we need to hone that. We need to honor that. And I think that what Mr. Trump has done, totally unknowingly, just by the fact that the way for him was made in the evangelical community, prophetically first. And then, as you know, the wider faith-based group has jumped on board. And he understands that, and he saw that happen. He doesn't understand one denomination from another, I'm sure, not as acutely as we do. But he understands that. And what has happened is that we are revitalizing our body of Christ, our church, and there's a shift in the kingdom that's going in alignment with the shift in the nation, and we're the ones that are experiencing it, and we're the ones that are being used by God to bring it about. So what a wonderful time to be alive, and also what a fearful time to be alive in God.
Well, I want to thank you for all you've done. You were very strong. I remember during the election, you were calling people to pray. You called me and you were having people pray for Trump, I think, before the first debate.
Debate.
And yep. We did a little story about 24 hours beforehand, and I think like it had been shared like 60,000 times by the time by the time the debate happened. And it continued to grow. The last time I checked was up to like 250,000, which means that people shared it with everybody. And I guess, you know, we would hope and think that they would pray. So thank you for what you've done in so many ways. We could go on and on. This has gone on a little bit longer than most podcasts, but I felt it was important. And I feel it's important for us to stay on top of these topics, and perhaps we can have another podcast later as these things develop. And again, thank you so much for what you said about my book.
Oh, my honor. I can't wait for it. Get it out, please.
Thank you. And thank you for listening today to the Strang Report. I'm Steve Strang.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.